What up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike, like always, trying his best to bring you guys good interviews, good conversations, good content. Something I've shared with you guys in the past, we're not clickbait. We're not trying to find those tattletale stories, make other people look bad, or make other people, you know, build resentment for one another. If anything, we're truly trying to speak life experiences, life moments that not only impacted us, changed us, but we had to figure out how to get through. And that's kind of the reason why this next guest is someone that I wanted to bring on board, because there's a story, and there's a story that I'm sure you guys have, a story that we have, that, believe it or not, it's what God has called us to connect, to know that I can relate with you, you can relate with me, and help each other. Use that story, have that pain, have purpose. With that said, guys, I hope you guys enjoy this next episode. Here we go. Surprise, surprise, my guest today is Bridget. Bridget, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, thank you. Well, the reason why I wanted to bring you, because I heard little details of a little bit of the story that you have in your background, but before we get there, I want to know Bridget a little bit more as far as her background goes. Bridget, if you don't mind sharing with me, where'd you grow up? Like, where are your parents from? Like, to kind of get to know you better.
Sure. So, I grew up in LA, Southgate area.
Okay.
And, I come from a Mexican household.
Nice. Where are your parents from?
My dad grew up in Tijuana, but his family's from Sinaloa.
Okay. Sinaloa.
Yes. My mom is, a mutt, so it's kind of weird because, she was born in El Salvador, but okay, she has a Puerto Rican background, Nicaraguan background. So there's a little bit of everything there.
That's pretty cool.
So now in her older days, she's claiming the Salvadorian a little bit more. but I grew up in an entirely Mexican household.
Can she do pupusas though?
No.
Oh. All right, but she's claiming it. All right, let's get it then. Let's get it. Okay.
Or at least I don't think so. She makes a good plátano frito, which
okay.
is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But nice. She more Mexican.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting. And, okay, growing up in Southgate, I'm very not like too familiar with the area, but what was childhood like for you?
My mom, our background, my dad has a lot of siblings. So in my house, it was kind of a busy household.
Okay.
My mom always opened her doors to my dad's siblings.
Okay.
So my uncles lived with us. My dad is a mechanic by trade. So,
what kind of mechanic? Like
auto mechanic. Okay. Yes. Auto mechanic. And so, our garage and our the back of it, there was always cars there. My dad was fixing cars. That was like what the weekend looked like. My mom worked, went to school, and so the weekends were the time when my mom was home,
okay,
kind of cooking and cleaning, just the regular normal.
So when your dad was an auto mechanic, he would do it from home?
He had a job, and he started, he had an entrepreneurship spirit. So he started, fixing cars from home.
Super cool.
Eventually opened his own shop. Nice. Then he had an accident and had to close it.
Okay. Okay. And then, so your dad worked, and then your mom worked.
Yes. I
okay.
Both of them worked.
And what school did you go to?
I went to Pilgrim Christian School in Maywood.
Okay. So I went to that's a private school.
Yeah.
I went to a private school. Your parents paid for all that? And
yes, my siblings and I went.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
There's three of us. My sister passed back in 2013.
Okay.
And I'm the oldest of the three.
You're the oldest, and then you have your sister?
My brother and then my sister.
So it was your baby sister.
It was my baby sister, okay. Yes.
And if you don't mind, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I do want to kind of get to know that pain, if you don't mind sharing with us, of the loss of your sister. But so you're growing up, you went to this Christian school for your entire education, or did you eventually go into public?
I eventually went into public because I was like a little, I was trying to be a little rebel without a cause. And so really without a cause, you know, I was just trying, honestly, I was trying to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
My parents were extremely strict in the weirdest of ways.
Were they believers?
No, they were not believers.
Interesting.
But there was it was weird because there was, I think my mom had some exposure from maybe family members to the word, and you know, people were trying to draw her in.
Okay.
But no, we weren't believers. Like I had a Catholic, you know, First Communion, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
So I did that, which I love, to be honest with you, because I felt like a princess in the dress, you know. But I honestly was trying to grow up really fast when I was young.
Okay. And, did all your siblings go to the Christian school or?
Yes. All of my siblings.
It's just, to me, it's interesting. Like I'm trying to figure out, like, obviously I can't determine what your parents were thinking, but it's interesting that they're Catholic, but they're sending you guys to a Christian private school. Is that because that was kind of like the only option that was nearby or something? Or?
No, they weren't really even Christian. I don't even think that they knew what they were, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because it's not like I grew up in a house with like Catholicism, but I just know that I had a First Communion, which is a good question for me to ask my mom now. And, you know, but yeah, good. at that time, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 10 when I had my First Communion.
Yeah.
But it's not like we were going to Mass or anything like that, or I grew up with any of the
understandings
or rituals. I did go to those classes that you have to go to for First Communion, which unfortunately I talked back, you know, and I was, again, a rebel, you know, and then somehow we were a Christian household going to a Christian private school, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's interesting because like right now you mentioned, you know, that's a good question to ask your mom. I share with my listeners, with my viewers all the time. This is the space that I like to create. Like this is a non-judgmental and we're open to ask any questions, like in the sense of like, you shouldn't be embarrassed to answer questions. You shouldn't get like, it shouldn't make you mad when there's a specific question that's asked to you. Like I remember in my marriage, I was asked about like pornography issues. And in the beginning, I'm like, why are you asking that? It's not important. Like, we just got to let it go. Like it's stuff in the past. And little did I know that was actually shutting down communication, where when God actually told me like, hey, if you don't want to talk about it, is it because you're guilty? Is it because you're hiding? Is it because of this? So little by little, God started kind of revealing to me like, no, dude, like the truth is, if you have nothing to hide, you should never be worried about asking questions. So right now, I'm glad it kind of sparked that to like, hey, that's a good question to kind of ask my mom, because it's kind of cool to just kind of figure things out like with your mom, with your dad, with whoever, because sometimes like we don't even know the understanding and it's like, we should ask like our mom and dad, like, why'd you do that? Or why'd you do this? I asked my mom when they were going through a divorce, like, why was I always put in the middle? Like, why was I always told, like, go tell your dad this and go tell your mom this? Like, why couldn't you guys hash it out? You know, like it goes back to them. So anyways, I'm glad. Okay. So you eventually went to public school. Is this during your high school days or?
Yes. So I was.
What high school?
I went to Huntington Park High School.
Let's go. HP.
I think I went like for not even a year. No. So during that time.
Any fights?
I got into a physical fight, yes, one.
I was just.
Maybe two.
I was just trying to be silly.
No, like, no, I got into two, you know. So I was always bullied as a child. Okay. You know, I was bullied by my uncles and stuff like that. And I was always very intimidated. Like, you know, I was never part of the cool club. I just was not cool. And I was, I dealt with a lot of insecurity issues, you know, because my mom was so strict. I couldn't dress like in fashion or anything like that. Yeah. So, you know, I never fit into anything.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, junior high, high school was odd for me. Mm. Yeah, I was odd because I was neither a nerd or, you know, it's not like I was like this overachiever in school either. So I didn't really fit in.
Okay.
But yeah. So when I went to high school, I was. At Huntington Park High School, you know, I was going. At that time, I met my now ex-husband.
Okay.
He was older than me.
Okay.
So I was ditching all the time.
Got it.
Going to school. Yeah. I mean, I think I went to maybe two classes.
Bad. At all. Bad,
yeah. I was going to Jack in the Box and getting apple pies, apple turnovers all the time. So that was my thing, you know, and ditching. So, you know, it. So I didn't graduate right out of high school. Like okay. I didn't walk out. I literally had to take myself back to school.
Wow.
And make sure I graduated.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you definitely touched a subject that at some point we were going to get into in regards to your first husband.
That sounds so weird.
Yeah. Is it fresh or why does it sound weird? Because I'll be honest, and I'm glad that you say that, because even for me, it's so weird to say my ex this, my, and it because for years it wasn't that. So it's a terminology to like, I can't believe this is like for real.
Well, I'll tell you why for me it's weird. And I think that for me it's weird because I was with him for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
I was with him for a very long time. So we grew up together.
Yeah, since high school.
Yeah, yeah. And he was 5 years older. So I really just grew up with him. And so to say ex or, you know, it's extremely odd. But then not so odd.
I get it. Like, like I want to be clear with the viewers and listeners. It's not, you're not saying it like it's weird because there's awkwardness between you two. You're saying it's just weird because for so many years, that's a husband. Yeah. But it's like to say ex, it's like, that sounds weird, but it's the new vocab and we got to get.
It's the reality. Yeah, it's the reality. In retrospect, you know, I grew up with him and lived with him longer than I did with my parents.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I left my house very young.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I married him when I was 16, met him when I was 13.
16?
Yeah, I was 16. And I was not pregnant. Let's keep it
clear. Let's keep it clear, guys. Had nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with pregnancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And wow, when you're 16, do you need permission from your parents to get married or no?
Yes, yes, I did.
So your parents had a sign.
So, it was so weird back then. I don't know what they did, but I got married through church, you know? So, and I don't remember the process.
Okay. And I mean, 30 years that you've known him. I thought like, okay, after 5 years, 7 years, like I feel like if you make it past 10, it's like, okay, you're good. Like this is till death do you part. What happened? And to be clear, this is not a, we need to make him look bad. This is not none of that. I've even done it with other episodes with other friends that I bring in. Like this isn't a bashing session. If anything, I want to know what Bridget learned, what Bridget went through, and where has God taken you from there?
Oof. Well,
I know.
So, you know, again, just, you know, thinking back, I was 13 when I met him. So he was 18 Wow. About to be 19. Wow. I lied to him about my age and said I was older. I told him I was 16 when I met him. So I was a little deceitful. I met him at the bicycle club in Bell Gardens. And just to let you know what I was doing there, there was a restaurant there before, and I was there with some family members.
Got it.
And, you know, he asked me for my number, et cetera, et cetera. So we connected. But at that time, you know, to connect pieces, you know, as I was saying, I was very rebellious, but I had a very bizarre relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was always very extremely overprotective of me. And so he was really strict in they were weird. Like, that's a perfect example. I once said, hey, I want to join the Girl Scouts. And they were like, why? Why do you want to join the Girl Scouts? What is that? No way. You're never going to join that. And I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So they were extreme that way. And so, to be honest with you, when I met my ex, I was just trying to get out of the house because I felt trapped. You know, I started being rebellious in ways that, you know, I started ditching school.
I get it.
He
starts showing you new things that you hadn't seen before. Like, oh my God, we can do this. We can do that.
Absolutely. You know, he had a car and I was like, oh, you know, he was a bad boy. And I was like, at that time, you know, that called to me, right? Because he was a bad boy. He was cool. You know, he was older and, you know, I wanted to do all the drinking and all the partying, even though I honestly never truly fit.
Yeah.
And I want to say that I believe, my personal belief is, because I was set apart.
So good.
You know,
I agree with you.
I believe that I just didn't fit in because I was set apart.
But same with me. Like, I tried doing the whole drinking and stuff and I really felt like, why does this just, like, I'm not interested in this. Mm. And when I was saved, when I was truly saved, I felt like God tell me, welcome home. And I have never felt like in a perfect place until I came to him. Mm. So right now when you say that, I'm like, I totally understand you.
Yeah, I think that was my truth. But needless to say, you know, I started running away from home. My parents, they were going to send me to some school in Guadalajara. Then they were going to send me to some school in Tecate. Then they sent me to family members in Chicago.
Wow.
And then they sent me to an uncle in Azusa. And I ran away from, I was like, I'm out some way, somehow. So I put them through stuff, right? I don't take away from that. You know, my poor mother, I gave her a lot of sleepless nights. But honestly, I felt like a prisoner at home. There was just a huge disconnect, which made me just say, I'm going to cling on to this person. And I did. I clinged to him and I wanted him to be my escape. And he became my escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were kids running the streets, like, even though he was older. You know, he came from a Christian home.
Wow.
Yeah. So he came from a Christian home. He wasn't walking with the Lord at that time at all. His life was just the complete opposite of that. So I grew up with him. You know, I grew up with him. We ended up getting married when I was 16. I told my parents, well, either you let me marry him or I'm just going to, you know, just continue to live like this. And, you know, I believe my mom, you know, in a pretentious way said, okay, well, you know what? I'd rather have you married than people think that you're, you know, in the streets with some guy. So I ended up getting married. I had a large wedding. Wow. I had a church wedding. It honestly felt like my quinceañera instead of my wedding. It was the strangest thing.
Okay.
I was 16 years old. I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Super young.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We think at the time we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Clueless. You know, I didn't know. Nadie te saca
de allí. No. You think like, no, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So then I started my life and my mom did tell me She's like, when I got married, she's like, okay, you're leaving the house now. You're no longer our responsibility. You're his responsibility. Don't come back home.
Wow.
So she was harsh. And when, and as,
talk about mommy issues, like, yeah, that, that's heavy.
That's deep, right? Yeah. So I never felt the confidence to go back, even though he and I separated several times within our marriage, and it happened like right away. You know, because at that time his lifestyle was friends, you know, alcohol, you know, and other things, and we were kids. I don't blame him or myself. We were kids playing house. Unfortunately, we didn't have mentors. We didn't have people in our lives trying to guide us. Yeah, trying to guide us. And even though we knew the word, and I say it like that, quotes, you know, the word is, we didn't know the word. We weren't, you know, trying to look for the Lord or anything like that. Moving forward, you know, like,
Fast forward,
you know, we moved to the, to the San Fernando Valley. I forgot what year, but it was in the 2000s. We moved over there, and his sister's a pastor. They're pastors. They have a church out there. Wow. And so I don't know how I started going to church. And there was something calling me, you know, and, you know, obviously it was the Holy Spirit. And so, I surrendered my life to the Lord at that time, but I went from one extreme to the next because I went psycho religious, you know, just like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do that. Guilty. Yeah. Just, I went psycho religious. And then, you know, I had a harsh reality.
That in its own brings a lot of problems. Yes. Because if one is psycho religious and the other one's like, not, now there's tension.
Yeah.
A lot of bickering.
It was. And the relationship was extremely volatile. We were both very young. You know, again, when you're young and you don't have the right people around you, you know, you're just creating a bigger mess. And unfortunately, neither one of us had the mindset or the education or the knowledge, not education, but, you know, the knowledge to say, you know what? Let's take a step back. Let's really have a conversation about what's going on, because we were so like, good. Nah, you so know, good. You know, correct. Like, yeah, do your thing then. Okay, I'll do my thing. So it was like that for many, many years. And then we had children. I couldn't conceive right away. So then, you know, I felt like, oh, I need to have children. And we did. And our children were our biggest blessings. You know, so that kept us together, the children. But it wasn't the love. I loved him. I love him, you know, as a father of my children. But there was no connection relationship.
Got it.
You know, because unfortunately, we just stayed in the mix of things to stay in the mix of things because this is, okay, we're married. So, okay, we're married without us really taking the time to know each other. And so that's how we did.
To know yourself.
Yeah, to know myself. You know, I started changing. You know, I was, again, 13 when I met him, 16 when I married him. You know, became a mother at 22, you know. So we were going through the motions of life, if I can say it like that. Yeah, you know?
And give me a second before you continue. You know, the reason why, like, a lot of us think, like, well, what's the purpose of sharing my story, or what's the purpose, like, of even, like, why does that interest me? You know why that interests me? Because there's a viewer, there's a listener that is also thinking similar things like you, that are like, dude, my marriage is in a brick. Like, we're only together because of the kids. But you just mentioned right now something like, we didn't have mentors. We didn't have guidance. We didn't have people helping us. Well, back then, I understand there was like a stigmatism of like, if you had mentors, or if you went to counseling, like, you're broken. There's something wrong with you. And it's like, no, dude, like, you can save your marriage. You can save your relationship, but you're going to have to do this dirty work called, you're going to have to air out your laundry. You're going to have to dig deep, figure out all these things, because you're hitting it on the spot where it's like 13, 16, mom at 22, but you have yet to know who even Bridget is.
Yeah.
But you're already a girlfriend, a wife, a mother. Bro, like, you got a lot of, like, still trying to understand who you are. And it's like, no, like, you need that mentor around you to guide you, to help you, to, you know, I'm so grateful with my mentors and my counselors, because now they start showing me, like, hey, who says you need to be performing like this and like this? Well, the world, and that's so the world. So right now that you're sharing that, like, I'm telling you, there's going to be listeners out there watching or listening that are like, dude, I know exactly what she's feeling. And that's why I like bringing these conversations, because I don't know if you knew or you thought my story can be of purpose, but it's like, no, it can. And I see it and I'm just like, like, es una niña, like, she's trying to figure out her life the same way I'm trying to figure out mine with what I'm going through. So it's a trip. So, okay, by 22, you're a mom, you're trying to figure it out. So where does Bridget go from there?
My life kind of started to spiral in two different ways. I've always, and I say this, I've always been very blessed about people that the Lord puts in my life. You know, it started out with bosses, you know, who saw something in me, or, you know, whomever it was, but, you know, that's how it started. I started, you know, I was working and trying to go to school and doing a lot of things. And unfortunately, the disconnect between my ex at that time was, the gaps were getting greater. I was like, as I was maturing into my womanhood, right? Because as women, we evolve in many different stages. And unfortunately, it's not like men.
Correct.
I started to see things I didn't like, and I was like, I don't really want this for myself anymore. But I felt stuck. I felt stuck in a relationship that I honestly didn't want to be in. And I started to demonstrate, I backed away from church. And the reason that I backed away was because not only was I going to a church that was his family's church, but I was also told, and I should have backed away from church, but not the Lord, which I did both. I did both, because the people and the Lord are two separate things, 100%. Right? 100%. But I was told, well, this is your cross to bear. So you have to go through all this so he can, you know, and I was like, oh my God, it's a lot. Yeah. And it became a lot because the relationship became abusive. Oh. There was infidelity. On both sides. After a while, I was just like, I'm out. I don't want to be in it. And I started to rebel. And then again, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to play church and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to act like everything's well, you know, ask for forgiveness. You know, he wouldn't come to church. It was a mess.
Guys, I've shared with you guys, I'm a one-man show, so I got to do my cameras, my lights, my everything. But you were mentioning that you stepped away from church because of it was his family. But I mean, I understand that humanly, you also stepped away from God.
Yes.
Okay. And
this spiral effect. And wow. And I always felt God's conviction. You know, and I had children already at that time.
How many?
Two.
Boys, girls?
I have my oldest daughter and my son, my baby, who's 25. So life just kind of, I honestly didn't know. You're right. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know anything. All I knew is that I had to carry a cross and it was my fault. Because God had given me that mission, which created a lot of insecurities in me and a lot of depression. We stuck it out. We started going to church. He surrendered his life to the Lord. But if I can be 100% honest with you, by this time, years had gone by. just years. We're by this time we're in relationship 25 years, you know. He decided to stop drinking. He decided to stop smoking. You know, he tried to surrender his life to the Lord, and God started doing his work in him. And that's when I was like, I'm done.
But for 20, yeah, it was like, it's a little too late.
Yeah, and I felt so guilty, you know, and even my own family was like, how could you do this? You know, he surrendered his life. This is what you've been praying for. But I was just exhausted, unhappy. I remember I went to my pastor at that time because this is how it went, you know. And again, I'm just trying to be, you know, by this time he and I are in a good place, you know. And by good place, I mean, you know, we're getting along. There's no more of anything, you know, and by anything, I mean, there's no substance abuse. There's nothing, you know, there's no abuse in the relationship. We're just there, you know, we're being still and living and being there for our children, which he's an excellent father. And that's what he's always thrived on, being an excellent father. So I started volunteering for a veteran organization, because by this time I'm a business owner. I've been a business owner. You know, I have done a complete 180. Mm. So the insecure little girl that he met, married, was no longer there. Now I've become a woman. You know, I found something that calls to me. Again, our focus is our parenting. He's an excellent father, you know. Just relationship wise, we were just there. And I'm not going to paint a story like, oh, like, you know, we were distant from each other. No, you know, we were trying. I was trying. He was trying. But it was never a relationship where like, hey, let's talk. You know, what is our future looking like? What is this looking like? Okay, none of that. So before my son was 18, I would always utter these words. The contract is over when he's 18. The contract is over when he's 18. I would always speak that into existence. That happened. I went on a trip in 2019. I was severely depressed. I'm talking depressed. So depressed at that time. And I was not going to church. Again, I was not going to church. But I had a relationship with God, right? I was praying, talking.
Like a lot of us, yeah, right? Like a lot of us.
So I was just like, yeah, I'm doing my own thing, God, yeah. You know?
And now we know that's not the right thing to do.
No, it's not.
This is just kind of a side note before you keep going. So like when I hear people say like, only God can judge me, that's where I know, okay, you're doing stuff you're not supposed to, and you know, but you just want to do the... This is how I'm going to clean my hands with it. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And so I went on a trip because I was advocating for veterans. That's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And I met, you know, veterans. I met all these professional people. And my mindset, everything just started changing. I started evolving. But what happened is my ex and I had made a promise, like, look, if ever there's a time where you're just not happy anymore and you just want to leave the relationship because you feel that you may have the temptation of talking to someone, meeting someone, let's be honest with one another. And that happened to me.
Wow.
I came back from a trip and I said, you know what? I haven't been happy. I met someone I didn't meet someone just to
have fun, screw around.
I just really enjoyed that person's conversation. That's what happened. I enjoyed that person's conversation. And from there, I started thinking, oh my God, why am I enjoying this person's conversation? I went to my pastor at the time and I told him. And, you know, my ex and I had a lot of issues because of things that, you know, he had happened. And just relationships that he had with women, and not physical ones, but just a little bit too friendly. So it always was something in our relationship. So I told him, I said, I need help. I don't want to get divorced. And when we approached my husband then, you know, he accused me. He was angry. He was volatile. It took him a year to go to our pastors, and by then I was like, I'm checked out. I was so checked out that I started drinking, something that I don't do. I'm not a drinker. I started drinking, and I said, I'm done with the relationship. I don't want to be with you anymore. But what the enemy did, you know, and I say this was, is because he really started attacking me. By that time, we're separated, you know, just separated at that time. It affected my children, obviously, their mental health, you know, their livelihood. But I started getting suicidal thoughts. It was bad. Yeah. It was bad.
And, you know, even before you said that, I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to get, I understand your point, because now the church is judging you, because it's like, you're the one that wants to quit. He accused you of, you were cheating with him, with that guy. And, you know, you're being bluntly honest right now and saying, I wasn't, we were just having conversations. But I mean, you guys had the conversation. So I can see how the enemy's going to attack. Cause even now that you're still being honest and saying like, hey, this is a situation, I know some people are going to be looking at it and saying, no, if you're a Christian, you have to fight for it and this and that. And it's like, if you feel that way, I always tell people, before you judge and before you criticize, pray. So if you really do feel that way, pray for Bridget. Pray for her. God, show her the way. Give her guidance. Bless her. Do this. Because I'm going through something very similar, and God says, pray and bless. And whether you understand or don't understand, because the reality is, it's like, God can do many things. He's not limited to a square the way we think it. Like, he has brought people from dead. When I see someone dead, I don't ever think they're going to come back to life. Right. But God can say, I want them back to life, and he can make it happen. Yeah, so God can do whatever he wants. Yeah. So right now that you're sharing that, I'm like, dude, I could only imagine why you were going through it, because of the guilt, the shame, the manipulation of the kids too. Like, I'm aware of that, you know? So yeah, I see it.
Yeah. So, and I'm sorry, it was in 2008. By 2019, I was, that's when I, 2018, late 2018 is when I started to check out, and, you know, just spiral. But I want to say this, because even though I was going through it, I always asked him, do you want to get counseling? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do this? So I was still trying to nudge, right? Like, okay, are you going to fight for this? Because I told him, I can't fight for this alone anymore. I just can't. I don't have the strength, the energy, nor the want.
Yeah.
You know, because no one wants to be in a relationship by themselves. 100%. You know, you know, you want to have some type of reaction. And the reaction was always like, well, you do what you want to do.
Wow.
And so I did.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, I did it in the very wrong way. And I say that I did it in the wrong way because I allowed the enemy to try to destroy my life. You know, and again, by the grace, only by the grace of God, is that I was spared. And I say that just like that, because now looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that I allowed myself to get into that, such a dark place, you know. And again, by the grace of God, he pulled me out.
And in that dark place, when you were not even thinking of the Lord was there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think that is testament to his mercy and his grace and his covering over my life. And so, you know, during that time, I met my now husband. And
Was it the guy you were enjoying the conversations with? Or
No, it wasn't that guy. Okay. This guy's another guy. we met through business.
Okay.
He actually was looking for an insurance agent, which is what I do professionally. And we kind of developed a friendship. And I was in a dark place. He was in a weird place too, also a believer. Wow. And something that was, I think, that started wrong, and I say wrong because our intentions were not like, oh, let's honor the Lord together, you know. And no, it was like, oh, hey, hi, you know. the Lord turned it into something. He's a believer.
Wow.
You know, so one day I tested him and I said, hey, well, take me to church with you. I want to go to your church.
Let's go.
And so he was like, all right, I'll take you to church. Like, it was like no big thing. Like, let me take you to church. And he took me to church. And I want to say this because I come from a Hispanic ground church. The last church I went to before this one was a Chicano church in Torrance, and love that church. But I just always felt like there was something missing for me. Right. I love to worship music, musically speaking, like that's a thing for me, but the word wouldn't stick. And I don't know if anybody could relate to this, but it wouldn't just stick. I would just like be, you know, dozing off or daydreaming. I wasn't in it.
Yeah.
He takes me through this church, right? Everybody is, of course, welcoming. I hear the pastor preach, and something starts just hitting me. And it wasn't the conviction of the Holy Spirit, like, okay, hey, welcome back. It was the word feeding me. It was the meat and potatoes that I had been
looking
for.
Sounds good, yeah. That's right.
You know? And so my life changed walking into that place. My relationship with the Lord was reignited, you know, not because I did anything special, but just because I allowed the word to hit home.
Mm-hmm.
And feed me. And then the Lord, the person that was the catalyst to that, became my husband.
Wow. Well, you're like, hey, do you know that there's a discount if we get married? There's a discount on the insurances if we get married.
And so we just recently got married. So, and nice. This has been.
When did you guys get married?
August 2nd.
This year?
Yeah, this year.
Literally, guys, a month ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So a month ago.
Congratulations.
And I want to say this, that it was so hard for me to get to that place to even realize that I was the toxic one. Right, because I came from a very toxic relationship, and so where healing wasn't really taking place. And I think because of the partner now that God placed in my life, I had to really look at myself,
yeah,
and saw what I brought to the table.
Love it.
Not everything that's good, right? And so,
love it. So, it's something that I share with the listeners, with the viewers constantly, because as I hear you, there's moments of you're taking accountability. You mentioned there is infidelity on both ends. A person that is not vulnerable, a person that can't take accountability, would just finger point and say it was infidelity only on their side. But you took ownership. You mentioned I'm not doing the right thing, but you know, the flesh is the flesh and ahí andamos. And it's like, bro, I honestly, Bridget, I respect conversations like that because I don't need you to be perfect. I need you to be real. You know what? That was hard for me to do. That was challenging. I was going through depression. The enemy with me currently, there's times where he puts thoughts in my head where it's like, you do know life would be a lot easier if you were just gone. And I'm like, it hurts, but I process my emotions and I'm like, no, dude. Like, then God comes and God tells me, such a lie. You really think your kids don't want to see their dad when they're graduating from high school? Yeah. You really think your kids don't want to see their dad their day of their wedding? Yeah. Like, and then God tells me, you're wrong because your life is not just yours. Your life is to serve. Is to give to others. So when you think of suicidal thoughts, how selfish. And I'm like, okay, God, thanks for the slap.
Checkmate.
Like, thanks for the slap and the reality check, man. Like, I you know, and then it gives you the strength of like, all right, I'm feeling this way. So now what do I do to snap out of it? So I'm glad, you know, you're in your marriage now. A 1 year anniversary. Great.
No, 1 month.
One month. Yes. Yeah. No, my mind knew to say month, but for whatever reason, I said year.
And I also would like to say this, you know, piggybacking on what you just said, you know, it would be really nice for us to not share as believers, as believers, right? We don't want to share. We don't want to expose the vulnerability. We don't want people to know our lives. Oh my God, so taboo to talk about in a Christian world. Talk about what? Suicidal thoughts? Oh, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that is not of God. You know, don't talk about yeah. it. Depression? What? No. Yeah. You know, oh it's my God. Because
you're not in your word enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not. Start fasting a little bit more. But you know what the reality of it is that so many people are going through things that we don't even know. And I'm going to say this, and this is to prove the point that this is why you're here and you have to keep going. This is for you.
Man, amen.
I last week, and I'm going to get emotional.
I could feel the Holy Spirit, man. I could feel it.
Excuse me. I told my husband, because he's really cool and amazing. I just want to say that. But I told him, God is speaking to me. And I said, he's calling me to serve. And I was so bruised by the church that I honestly didn't want to serve. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel inadequate. I don't want to serve. You know, and I was like, Lord, I'm not worthy. And he's putting in my heart, like, you know, come, because I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And so I want to say to you that this is an answered prayer, that I can speak on something that tried to destroy me, but I can give the Lord the honor and the glory.
Amen.
That he deserves for restoring my life, because he has been restoring. And by no means is my life perfect, and by no means am I Cinderella, you know, but the Lord has given me a man of God. A man that makes me accountable, a man that wants to see me grow in my faith, you know. And my life has changed drastically. I am not the person that I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So it's important that you,
thank you,
fulfill this that God is calling you, because, yeah, the enemy would want to say, you know what, yeah, you know, end it. You know, life is over. But no, life is not over, because you know what, you have people like me that are seeking God, and
that's right.
And the Lord is saying, you know, go, because I'm calling you. And amen. I don't know who this is going to speak to, if it's speaking to you or to anybody else, but you know what? We have to keep going, you know, and it's hard to do, but it's so important who you're, my pastor always speaks on community, who your community
yep.
is,
yep. That's you know, right.
And who surrounds you.
That's what I want the Mac yeah. effect to be, yeah. the community. It might not yeah. be, this might not be the community you stick with, but if we can find you the resources to where yes. God wants yes. you to be, let's do it. And thank you for sharing, because the reality is, it's like, can I offer clickbait episodes? I'm going up against the current. People don't want to hear take accountability, take mm-hmm. ownership, speak about you. Oh, they're not going to talk bad about the husband, the ex-husband, because that's what's going to get me more views. If we talk about yeah. all the nasty things your husband was
yeah.
doing,
yeah.
but I don't talk about that. I want to know the growth within you. And because I don't go, because I'm up against the current, but God tells me, you press, because if it's one person that you reach, yes. that person needed to hear it. So like right now that you're sharing that, one, thank you for sharing. I felt the Holy Spirit just moving and saying, like, that's, you're on the right path. Like, do I speak about the Lord? Yes. But I also speak about humanity of, like, this is real. We go through it. Yeah. I can see how you get hurt. It's not just the church. People are like, oh, it's all religious all the time. No, it could be at work. Yeah. It could be in your own marriage. If you're Catholic, Buddhist, if you don't believe in the Lord,
it could be your family, it could be anybody, anything, yeah, yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And it's like, dude, it's so important to just be able to put yourself out there and say, hey guys, this is reality. I know we can connect and we can share. So your story, I can see, like let me ask you a question or questions.
Okay.
Are you the richest person in the world?
No.
Do you have everything your heart desires financially? Do you have all of it together?
No.
Do you have peace?
Yes. That part.
And that's the part that I want to share with people. It's like we think we need it all, And the reality is we just need him. And then everything, yes, when we fix the in, everything around just becomes better. And not perfect, but it becomes better. And that's why.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the realest thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going through life every day. Everybody's story, it looks different, struggles.
And there's many, yes, stories. Like you, yes, we're not going to have time to hit the story with your sister, but you lost a sibling.
Yes.
That's heavy as well. That's another story as well to speak about and have that conversation as well. But nevertheless, Bridget, like, I hope you can feel like now you see this is what God has called me. And I know in the beginning it was like, what's going to happen? This and that. But it's like this. Anyways, with that said, you did mention you do have a business. So what is it that you're doing right now?
I own a farmer's insurance agency. Okay. So in Downey.
Beautiful.
And so down in California. So
beautiful. And I'll put her information there as well. If you guys feel free and want to go get a quote, want to reach out, give her a call. Even visit your office.
Yeah.
You guys are definitely going to be welcome to go there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And what type of insurances?
Auto, home, life, commercial, business, workers' comp, everything that you can think of insuring.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and your new husband or?
No, my new husband, he's a mortgage loan officer. Yeah.
Mortgage loan officer.
He's a smart one. He works with numbers.
Okay. So he can help with like HELOCs. He can help with,
yes,
things of that nature.
Yes. First time home buyers, credit lines.
For only homes, or can he also do personal loans?
No personal loans, but he can do commercial as well.
Cool.
So
awesome. Yeah. You guys are going to have those contacts there. You're going to be able to see what she can offer. If any of that is an interest of you guys, feel free to reach out. If I didn't ask a question that you guys are like, I would like to know a little bit more about this, about Bridget, or if she could touch a little bit more about this, maybe you have a question that's a little bit more personal and she doesn't want to share it obviously on air, but I can definitely send her that comment, send her that email that you guys send, and I'm sure she would be more than happy to elaborate a little bit more, maybe help you guys out in the situation you guys find yourself in. Share your thoughts. What did you guys think about the episode, the podcast, and any questions also directed to me? Bring them on. Tell me what you guys are thinking. But this is why the Mac Effect is here. In moments where I think, it's just throwing the towel, God tells me, no, it doesn't work that way because your life is here to serve. So we're here to give and hopefully help each other grow and expand. So Bridget, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
I think you brought a great story. I'm very humbled and appreciative. And I hope you guys liked it. So with that being said, Mac Effect out. Peace.